If you have a copy of God's Word, let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we'll read from verse number 1 to verse number 4 to get an update of where we are in the movement of the church. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about and preached about the persecuted church. Today, when we look at this portion of Scripture, Acts chapter 8, the church in Jerusalem is scattered through many, many persecutions. Acts chapter 7, Stephen was just stoned. He was pronounced dead by a young ruler named Saul. And they made an example of Stephen. But Stephen did not die in shame. Stephen died for the glory of God. For the glory of God. But what's cool about this is that the Bible teaches us in the book of Acts that wherever these people were scattered, they took with him, they carried the message of Jesus wherever they went. And Philip, in this context, is teaching us what it means to be running for your life and taking Jesus with you. I wonder what Philip's prayer was. Oh Lord, please help me. They're coming for me. And then opening the next door, sharing Christ again and again and again. And when you look at this book of Acts, the number of witnesses multiplied and the territory was expanded. There were Christians all over now. People who are being scattered are running with Jesus and taking him to the darkest places. Acts chapter 11, verse number 19 and 20 teaches us, now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. I bet you that if there was no persecution and if Stephen was not stoned, I don't think Philip and those fellow Christians would have run for their lives and take the gospel with them. The first largely Gentile local church was located here in Antioch. It was through the persecuted church that went to Antioch and started the church in Antioch. Acts chapter 13 tells us that this church that was started from persecution, they sent out the first missionaries to the world. Acts chapter 13, verse number 1 and 4, I'll paraphrase it. They set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work that God has called them to. In essence, what I'm telling you here is that God used scattered, persecuted Christians to carry the gospel far and wide. And I believe if you follow the lineage of all those scattered persecutions, that's how we have Olive Baptist Church. They went out preaching and teaching, running for their lives and hiding in dark places and preaching about who Jesus is. Now, Philip in Acts chapter 8 is on the move. Let's catch a story in Acts chapter 8. I'll read from verse number 1 so we get a better understanding. And Saul approved his execution, Stephen's. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. One day, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Paul, what's up with you, man? You mean you were that bad? And he's going to tell you, I never knew what Jesus did for me, but I'm glad I came to know him. And maybe you are here today thinking, I don't think there's hope for me. Well, if there's hope for this man, there's hope for you. If there's hope for this man, then there's hope for you. Amen? Look at what Philip goes on. Luke writes for us in verse number 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. I bet you that today, if there was persecution and there was scattering in the church, we will not run preaching the word. We will run for our lives. We will run and hide. We will run and get our family together and close the doors. But here they chose, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They were hiding and preaching, hiding and preaching. It is the first hide and seek game ever played in Scripture. They were hiding and seeking, and preaching the word of Jesus wherever they went. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention. Listen, guys, can you get people in one accord these days? Can you get people in one state of Florida to agree on something? Jesus can. His message can. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Now I like verse number 8. If you have a pen, pencil, put some spit on your finger, underline verse number 8. This is what it is. So there was much joy in that city. Amen? Oh, how would it be if we can truly say, Lord, may there be much joy in Pensacola through the preaching and witnessing of your name. Let me invite you quickly to understand where is Samaria and what's going on there. Much he said in John chapter 4 about the Samaritan woman. Okay, the Samaritan woman, the ancient capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, which eventually fell to the Assyrians. For over 200 years, these Samaritans worshipped idols and turned their back to God. They intermarried. Jews and Gentiles got together. And so the Jews called Samaritans unclean people. Okay? John chapter 4 teaches us, Jesus took the road less traveled and went to the well where he met the Samaritan woman. He chose not to take the way of all the religious people take every day. Jesus chose the road less traveled. You know the story. At the well, he meets a Samaritan woman. Why did the Samaritan woman come to the well at the midday? No one goes to collect water midday because of the heat, but they collect water in the mornings, early hours, and in the evenings at sunset. Well, the Samaritan woman was so embarrassed to be around the water well because everyone was just ostracizing her and insulting her and embarrassing her that she was all over in the community, don't even know her husband. The Samaritan woman comes to the well. She meets Jesus. By the way, the longest conversation Jesus had with an individual in the New Testament was with a Samaritan woman who don't even know who has a husband. She interacts with Jesus and she's thinking, how can a Jew be talking to a woman? She already downsized herself. She put herself down. She had low self-esteem. She had no identity. She put herself down, and Jesus revealed to her who Jesus is. She runs off and she tells everyone in Samaria. Next thing you know, all the people are coming to meet this Jesus who told everything about this woman, and she was shocked. The disciples come by and the disciples say, what's going on here? Jesus say, well, we're going to spend two nights at the Days Inn in Samaria. That most probably the disciples said, Jesus, we're going to talk about this. We dudes not allowed to go there. Because those are unclean people. Why do you think Samaria was the people so put down? Because religious people put them down. The Jews thought if they keep the commandments and if they teach those commandments to their children, they will be with God. That's what religiosity teaches. That I am working my way and I've earned my place to be with Jesus. No, 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 no. We are not a religious people. We are a relationship people. That Jesus Christ came down to die in our place and take us and present us to the Father. So if you are here today, know if you die today, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. It's nothing that you have done. It's everything that Jesus has done. But how often we, the religious people, say, you know what, you are not allowed to come here because you are half-breed. Or you are not allowed to come here, you're not one of us. And I know you and I are family members, or no friends, and this is what they say, well, the church hurt me. I was in New England for 10 years. Everyone says that. Well, the church are just a mean group of people. That's why church planting is thriving there, because these church, young church planters are loving a new way. Am I right, Johannes, in Wyoming? The church has hurt me because I came to church one day and someone told me I don't have church clothes. Or I came to church one day and said, well, this is my pew, you're going to move out. Oh, I came to church one day and no one greeted me. I do not want to go and stand before Jesus. And Jesus is going to ask me, why didn't they come to you? And I'm going to tell them, well, they never had church clothes. Religious people put people down. But people with a relationship with Jesus pick people up. So Samaria has a bad history of religious people. They will put down people. So imagine that they don't even want to mingle with their own. They don't want to be close to the Samaritan woman. That's how bad they were pushed aside. And if you are here today, my friend, feeling put down, may Jesus lift you up. May you look to Jesus and don't look at religious people. Look at the religion as having a relationship with Jesus, being with him. So Philip rocks up to this Samaria where people are unclean, where people, they say, you are worthless, you are run down, and you hear what Scripture is teaching. Through the preaching of God's word, through the healing and the witness, there was much joy in that city. Oh, I wish I was in Samaria that day. City hall was full. Their base center was full of Samaritans. Now have an identity, not from religious people, but from the King. And Jesus says, I died for you. That's the gospel. Jesus says, I love you. That's the gospel. Jesus says, you will be with me for eternity. That's the gospel. Jesus says that everyone in this room today can come to know him. And he said, I went and prepared a place for you. That's the gospel. That's what Philip shared to Samaritans, where religious people have hurt the Samaritans. And so Philip goes down there. Because let me remind you, none of us are beyond the need of God's grace, and none of us are beyond the reach of God's grace. It's God. It's so loved Sean. God so loved you that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and we carry with him the hope of glory. And so wherever we go, in this instance, they were scattered. Today, we go to work or we go to school. Let me encourage you, just don't go to work. Take to work. Take what? Take Jesus with you to work. Take Jesus with you to school. Take Jesus with you to college. Take Jesus with you when you travel. Take Jesus with you. Just don't go without Jesus. What I'm saying is, just don't go and don't live for Jesus. We got a good going scenario going. We go to the football game. We go to watch sport. We take to the football game. Tell someone next to you about Jesus. Take to the restaurant. Tell your server about Jesus. And that's why he's talking about Philip is running for his life, but he's carrying with him the gospel of Jesus. And a city like Samaria is joy in a city in Samaria. And I want to tell you, if that Samaritan woman was there, she would say, thank you, Jesus, that you don't look at me like all these Samaritans look at me. You don't look at me as a prostitute. You don't look at me as a drug addict. You don't look at me. You look at me as your child. That's a gospel message. And Philip takes this message. Philip takes this message and there's much joy. I want to encourage you today, if you tried religious people or if you tried religiosity, they will fail you. Today, try Jesus. Try Jesus. And Philip is heading down there. Philip is heading down there. And he's going. and he's going to Samaria. You know, I was looking at the city of Pensacola. You may not have been scattered to Pensacola. I believe God has called you to Pensacola, like he's called me to Pensacola. God is sovereign, and he has a purpose for you in the city. He has a unique place for you in the city. And if you believe in the sovereignty of God, he has you strategically and uniquely placed so that you can be the light and salt where you are. That's where it is. You're not scattered, but you are going. You are taking. And I looked and see, what are some of the people groups I hear? Well, how many of you are in college? The college and careers brought you to Pensacola? Everybody? There's some students here? Okay. How many of you, the military brought you to Pensacola? Okay. How many of you came from another country? Here we go. I had Deshni, my only witness in the first service. Amen. You see, God brought you here. Pastor preached many times, said, I'm looking for a champion who can be a champion for the college ministry. College and career brought you to the city, those who followed their career path. There's thousands of students here in our city. And they come from all over the world. May we invite those international college students. We are going into the season of joy. Much joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Well, joy to the world, joy to the Lord, an international student has come too. So that you can share with that student the name of Jesus Christ. So that you can come to realize what it is in an American's home. This is one of the college students shared when he spoke at Crossroads last week, and I quote from Sam Schwenke at our Crossroads ministry. This is what he says. I quote, we heard from the pulpit 2 weeks ago, our church is no cruise liner. It's a battleship. If Olive Baptist is a battleship, I'm convinced Crossroads, our college ministry, is a cannon to that battleship. We have a church engine full of resources that equip us to train and lead others to and in Christ. Let us do our part in the battle of Christ and train and lead in these areas. I like this. When a cannon is fired, it cultivates and reshapes the object it hits. When the gospel-shaped life is fired into this community, it will reshape the community. A gospel-shaped life will be cultural shaping. I quote Sam Schwenke, a young 20-year-old student here in Pensacola, and that's what his lesson was to his fellow students, to live for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, if we are the battleship, let's load our cannons with fiery college students and send them out to be gospel changers, community changers into the community. That comes from a college student. And I'm so excited because it's these college students will make X88 happen for Pensacola. So there was much joy in that city because Britton Lewis shared the gospel. She and Sam having a competition. Listen to this, guys. We have college students having a competition who can share Christ more than another. The goal is for every semester to share the gospel 50 times, and those are the two front runners. I don't know what the prize is. We cannot match what God will give them, but clearly we can see around us that we have young men and women who want to be difference makers so that joy can be restored to our city. Man, I want to get involved with those students who live for Jesus. And I'm glad that our church gives those resources for our young people to live for Jesus and come to see Pensacola bow to King Jesus. Not only we have people scattered or called to be a college or career here in Pensacola, but we have those who follow their commands. They follow the commands. Those who followed commands to report to Pensacola NAS. Those who followed commands to report to Corey Station. Those who followed commands to report to Whiting Field. Those are families that God called. And we need to embrace our military and love on them, because when God calls them, he's going to call them to a base that needs Jesus. He's going to call them to a city that needs Jesus. He's going to call them to a country that needs Jesus. They are here. Let's equip them and send them. Amen? That's how we're going to change our city. And so there was much joy in that city. A couple weeks ago, at the Next Steps table, I got to meet a young family. Chaplain James Lanford, his wife and his four boys. Chaplain James Lanford is one of our North American Mission Board chaplains in the military. He came and joined the church, and I took him out for coffee and got to know him. He says, "Sean, my dad was in California where Dr. Ted Traylor was preaching earlier this year. And my dad went to talk to Dr. Traylor and said, my son is going to be moving to Pensacola. Dr. Traylor gave him a card, and guess what? His son, Chaplain Lamford, brought that card to Olive Baptist Church together with his wife and four kids. He said, I want to come and join this church family because in 3 years' time, I'm going to be deployed. But while I'm here serving, I want to be so plugged in this church with my four boys and my wife, because I got 3 years to develop my boys to be followers of Jesus Christ. So when I'm gone, deployed, they won't tear the house down. I pray that you will recognize who God is calling, that we can encourage and send them out. There's many military families here, and God brings those people here who faithfully serve. Let's love on them and send them out. At our Warrington campus, every Sunday is a military luncheon. John Lowe and Mike Dimmick leads that, and many military families come have a meal and get to connect with. But this Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, many families, I'm sure there's some families here too, are going to invite young military personnel to come home with them for Thanksgiving lunch. He says, I know your family is not here. And they, this campus in Warrington, are leading by example. To say, you don't have your family here. Let me invite you. Come. Come. Come to know who we are. Come to know Jesus Christ while we serve you. Come. And maybe if you've got a daughter, I mean, those guys look pretty good in uniform. Come. There's got to be some benefit. Come. It happened in Connecticut. One of our members invited these Navy officers from Groton, Connecticut. Next thing you know, three daughters got married off and they're gone. It can work. But those are coming here, are scattered all over, so that they can come, be energized, and take Jesus to this big wide world. There's an old saying called, knock with your feet. Knock with your feet. This old saying that goes like this, knock with your feet. When you are invited or when you're going to someone's house, come knocking with your feet. What they're saying, may your hands be so full of food that you can only kick the door. Don't kick it down, but kick the door. Why don't we go and find our young military, guys and girls who are following the call of God? They don't have the families. This Thanksgiving, go kick on somebody's door and say, hey, I bet you if you go to a young family, those children are going to run to the door and say, mommy, daddy, somebody brought us food for Thanksgiving. And that child will know that some people out there loves their family. That's how you're going to bring joy to the city of Pensacola. That's what Philip did. I'm sure Philip threw a block party. I'm sure Philip had all the ideas we did at Warrington. I'm sure Philip is doing that there. Cooking hot dogs and hamburgers. Come on, you Samaritans. Come on. He wasn't cooking pork, I don't think, but anyway. But isn't it exciting that you and I can be a part of the kingdom and bring joy to our city? Bring joy to our city. Bring joy to our city. We have that joy. His name is Jesus Christ. And I know many of you are saying, well, Sean, you know, I'm just not there yet. If you got Jesus in your heart, you're already there. Look at Philip, Acts chapter 1:8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Philip was there. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42 and following, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Philip was there. Today, if you bow your head and bow your knee and say, God, won't you send your son Jesus to come into my heart? That same Holy Spirit that was in Philip will come fill your heart. And you can go and live for Jesus, not by your own strength, but greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So don't say you don't have the words to say. You do. You choose not to. You choose not to. James says, you have not because you ask not. Today, our Spirit of the living God, take away every shame, take away every shyness, give me the confidence to tell someone about Jesus, and the Spirit of God will speak for you. Amen? The Spirit of God will speak for you. In 2007, Destiny and I needed our religious visa. And if you travel internationally, now my consulate, that time it was not our consulate, it was the American consulate. And you have a consulate general at that office. That office in South Africa belongs to the United States. So we need a religious visa. I went on my knees. I said, Dear Jesus, if you want to take Destiny and I to be missionaries in America, you got to say something special because that agent is not going to listen to me. 30th floor. Destiny's mom and dad stayed in the bottom and we took the elevator up. And I'm sitting there and they call me. Man, my knees were shaking. Mr. Play. Like, okay. Good morning, ma'am. Man, she was mean. This American lady was mean. It's like she was from Vermont or something. No, but I love Vermont people. Oh, man, I love Vermont people. Man, she was just mean. I was scared. Now, I like to talk, but I was scared to talk. She said, Mr. Play, you've been to America. Now you found yourself a job. I'm like, oh, they don't like that, right? I'm like, I can say that I'm American now, but I said, yes, ma'am. Jesus called us to do ministry in America. This lady looked at me with a smile. I know America needs Jesus. Man, she signed my paper. It took me 90 seconds. 90 seconds. And then I'm getting comfortable. Yeah, you know, and Destiny kicked me on my ankle. We got it. Keep quiet, you know. We took our paperwork. Destiny and I never talked. 30th floor, we took the elevator. Joe Loja is there. You took that elevator. Went right down. We were in tears. Elevator opened. Destiny's mom and dad saw us in tears. They thought, okay, good. They didn't get it, so they're going to stay. Destiny said, yes, we got it. They started to cry. So I came to America with a religious visa. You break your religious visa if you don't preach. They gave me a visa to preach. That's what a religious visa is. And if I keep my mouth closed, I'm not living with the visa that I came to America with. So you told me preach, I'm preaching. And then 2 weeks ago, the judge's office called from Pensacola. She said, Sean, you know, you're going to be a citizen. Do you mind being a speaker? I'm like, oh, thank you very much. So how much time do I have? Well, you got 5 to 7 minutes, okay. But feel free. I said, okay. I felt free. And so I met with the judge. She said, welcome to America and all that. And when it's time, I'll introduce you. You come and speak. So I stood up in the podium. And I preached. She told me speak, so I was speaking. After I was American, I got freedom of speech. I know that. How many times when God gives you an opportunity, you close your mouth? How many times when God gives you an opportunity to love somebody, to share what he has blessed you, you say, really, Lord? What about next month? We should be a conduit of blessing to the city, because God loves our city. So when an opportunity comes, live for Jesus, speak for Jesus, share like Jesus would share, share like what Philip will share. Oh, I don't want to go to heaven and be all excited, but the person next to you and your workplace know you're a Christian, but you are the most sorry Christian they ever know. You complain about everything. God has given us opportunity. How do I know that? God has been good to us. Amen. God has been good to us. We need to be caring and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be ashamed by Britton Lewis. She boldly, that young girl, shares the faith. I don't want her to teach me what it is. We need to teach our next generation and lead by example. I'm so proud of them. Really? Because God has called us to reach and kick doors with our feet, as He was calling us to. Not only that, as many people came for college and career to Pensacola, many people came on commands, but there are many cross-cultural people here. You notice that? This city has grown so diversely. On Thursday, there was 300 people from 76 countries. How about that? There were 10 South Africans. 76 countries represented in Pensacola. I'm like, where did these people come from? I got to share Jesus Christ. How many people you know that come from different cultures, come from different countries that you are close to and open the door? Mr. Joe Lozier is here with me, visiting me from Connecticut. He's like my American dad. He came on a mission trip to South Africa in 2005. I met him, and he told me, Deshni, she's the one. I'm like, okay. So he gives good advice, all right? When Deshni and I landed in America, two bags of clothes apiece, my Bible and our wedding pictures, we did not know it snows in Connecticut. You know, we just thought, let's go save the world, you know? And so we landed in JFK. Man, Joe Lozier and his daughter were big warm blankets. And that's what American people have been to Desh and I, just a warm blanket. Amen, brother? We come from our country where it's very different. Why don't you identify those international people all around us and put you don't give them a blanket, of course, it's Pensacola, right? But love on them. The love of Jesus has a long reach. How many times you're on flights and see all these young military guys flying in? Love them. Love them. You know, Destiny and I, I'm just sharing with you because I'm excited. I became American citizen because I want to bring joy to this country. I want to bring joy to the city. I serve one of the best pastors in the country, one of the best teams ever. I want to, together with them, bring joy to our city. I want to see Jesus take over Pensacola. That's why I came. That's why I signed up. So we were praying. There's over 10,000 Vietnamese in Pensacola. I'm thinking, how can I get in contact with Vietnamese? I'm praying. I'm trying. I'm praying. I just don't know how to build that relationship. So Jason Crawford, if he's here somewhere, there's a Reading Pals program we were advertising, helping students to teach them to read. Yes, I signed up. Okay, I'm like, okay, I'll go. I sound different, but I'll go. So Destiny and I went and signed up for Reading Pals. United Way called us and said, we have a training for you. So I went, Destiny and I went for the training. Brandon Endry is here. He does Reading Pals. So I went to be trained. So after we got trained, they said, well, we have two students for you at Macmillan. We're going to match you with Destiny, with those two boys. I'm like, okay. Well, by the way, hope you don't mind, they're Vietnamese. I'm like, you serious? I'm like, yeah, sign me up. First Wednesday, December 5th, we're starting. And I'm going to meet those two Vietnam families. And guess what? Don't get jealous. You can do the same thing, but you choose not to. Yes, I said it. Yes. Our church is so blessed We want to serve you so you can have those cool stories like me. Right? Our church is so blessed, so you can. It's awesome. I was with Dr. Lewis. We're talking to two pastors from Romania. I was just listening to Dr. Lewis, how over 20 years you impacted their lives. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. We can do it. We can bring joy to this city. Let's make our tables long and invite two more people. Let's tear down the gates. Let's be with people. Because many of us, let me share with you, our first 7 minutes of the day sets a tone for the day. If you don't get your first 7 minutes right, you're going to be mad the entire day. If you're rushing the first 7 minutes, you're going to complain the entire day. It's a proven fact. It happens to me all the time. I blame everybody else driving slowly. Anyway. But when you wake up tomorrow morning, fight that feeling that today is just another day. Look up to God. Look around to His world. Look ahead to your life and ask God to awaken you. Awaken you to the reality of living for Jesus and bringing joy. Oh, I'm not comparing Samaria to Pensacola, but I'm telling you, Pensacola is pretty lost. And it'll take men and women like you and I to go out and share the joy as we were going. Share the joy as we were going. It's incredible what God can do. Each morning we need to remind ourselves, this is a day that the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. That's what we're talking about. We have so much love to offer. Yes, if you have Jesus, you have all the love in the world living right inside of you. You got so much to offer. Bring joy to the city. Don't just go to work. Take Jesus to work. And by your life, they will know something. And when the day comes, we can look back at Pensacola and said, and we did. The responsibility you've given us, God, and we did. I'm going to ask Philip one day, I say, what's up, Phil? Not Dr. Phil, but this guy here. I say, Phil, what was it like, man? He says, man, I was running for my life. But my life was Jesus anyway. And everyone I stood by, talked to in corners beyond the walls, I told them, and joy came to the city. Man, yesterday was an incredible opportunity at Lead Academy. Man, on Friday I became an American, Saturday I went to a rodeo. I was like, let's get in this thing, come on. And I was there, I'm looking at all these cowboys and they're sharing Jesus. Lead Academy, they put on it, and I'm seeing all these cultural relevant ways to share Jesus. As John comes to play, ask God to give you the power that only He has, that in this season of joy, we can share joy. Share joy. Somebody shared with us. And we are the scattered people of joy. So wherever we go, we want to share the good news of Jesus Christ.